As Charles Spurgeon once said about preaching, he said, I'll start with the text and make a beeline toward the cross. And so that's what we've been trying to do as we're working through the Old Testament, well, working through the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. So I want to invite you to turn again there to Exodus chapter 20. We are in Commandment 4. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. And we are going to be looking at verses 8 through verse 11. 8 through 11. I'm going to read this and invite you to follow along with me. I'm going to read it from the English Standard Version of the Bible. That's just the version I use, and you follow along the versions that you use. Let's stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. And following this, I like to pray and just get low and ask the Lord to bless our time together, to open our eyes and our hearts, the Spirit to move. So if you're able and willing to get low with me, I certainly invite you to do that. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 and following, fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do, you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Would you pray with me? Father, Lord, we come just starting off thanking you so very much that you didn't stop with just blessing a day and making it holy. No, you blessed the people and you're making us holy in Christ. So, Lord, we celebrate that. And, Lord, the Sabbath is such a precious gift. So, Lord, give me grace to do justice to what it means and how it applies to us today and how it points us to Christ. And it exalts our heart in worship. Lord, I pray that I might say only what is true of your word, what is true of you. Guard my tongue. Restrict it to that. But, Holy Spirit, would you open your mouth? And Lord, would you speak mightily to our spirits, to our hearts, Father, that it might change us, that it might allow us to see Christ clearer. It might motivate us to worship and live for the glory of God greater. Believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit come and anoint, teach, lead, save, sanctify. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. When I was a child, I don't know about the way you were, but I really looked forward to Sunday. I liked Sunday. I liked Sunday for a lot of reasons. I like going to church. My parents made sure I was always in church. We had a good youth group and all those kind of things. But that's not the biggest reason I like Sunday. I like Sunday mostly because it was the only day my dad didn't require me to work. I mean, I kind of thought in my mind, you're a child, you go to school and you work all week in school, you go to class. I mean, y'all back me up here. I mean, you do your homework all week, you're at ball practice, you're in band, you're cheerleading, you're doing whatever you do, and you're doing all of that. So you think on Saturday you've earned a day off, right? No, that's not at my house. No, because in my house, you had to get up, especially early in the morning, and you had to mow the yard, you had to rake the leaves, and you had to help mom around the house vacuum. How many of you have to do that Saturday morning? All right, yeah. Y'all, and I just get upset about that. I mean, come on, I deserve a day off. And now, my dad was no great Bible scholar, but one verse that he did know very, very well was Exodus 20, verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. 6 days. I tried to buy for five, but he just wouldn't go for that. And but it is interesting in America that we do have 2 days off. You realize that's more than what God commands. It's more than what we actually need. Of course, on that other day off, we have most of us work around the house, that type of thing. It's interesting to know why we have 2 days off in America. That's very rare in the history of the world. When we were trying to figure out how early on in our creation as a nation, we're trying to figure out how the work week would look and how we would function and that type of things. And there were a bunch of different factors, but the biggest factor was this. You had Christians over here, and as immigrants started coming in, you had Jews over here, and they were, the Jews wanted Saturday off, Christians wanted Sunday off, so eventually we just got both off. Amen? And so when we think about the Sabbath day, there's all kind of questions that come to mind. What does the Sabbath mean? When exactly is the Sabbath? Isn't the Sabbath part of the law? Should we still obey the Sabbath? Should we not obey the Sabbath? So we're going to think about all those things this morning as we consider the fourth commandment. But let's start with the simplest one. What does Sabbath mean? It means rest. That's a good word. Just the sound of that word just brings joy to my heart. It means rest. You know, some people think, well, it means Sunday. No. It means worship. No. It means go to church. No. It just means stop working. Cease your labors. And when God gave Sabbath rest to His people, oh, it's a great gift. And it points ultimately to Christ in a way that should move us to worship mightily. And we're going to look at all those things. We're going to look at it in 2 points. The first main, two main divisions is the Sabbath principle. Let's talk about the Sabbath principle. What is the Sabbath day? Well, the history of the Sabbath day, clearly God instituted Sabbath as a part of the law here. Now, some would argue that God instituted it in the Garden of Eden because God, He worked 6 days and then He rested on the seventh day. But it's interesting, there's nowhere in Scripture up to the law that you can find anyone observing a Sabbath rest. Only when God gives Moses, not Abraham, not Moses before this point, not anyone. So we see the Sabbath being brought forward in the law. Now, the law of Moses. Now, when God gave it, certainly it was a sign of His goodness to His people. The Hebrews had been in Egypt for 430 years. Now, not all of it, but a large part of that time, they had been in enslavement. Now, you know what it means to be enslaved? It means you don't get the seventh day off. You don't get any rest. You work every single day as hard as you can for as long as you can. Kind of like farmers, right? And so that's what they had experienced. So when you come to now the giving of the law as Moses has led the people, God through Moses has led the people out of Egypt, and you hear this command, remember the Sabbath day, remember the rest day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. I'm sure there were some hallelujahs in the crowd. There's probably some amens. Finally, a rest day. And God was very serious about them keeping it. You read through the Old Testament, the commands of the Sabbath are very clear. God works to make sure that the people don't have to. When they were picking up manna, did they pick up manna on the Sabbath? No, God gave them twice as much manna the day before, so they should not pick up manna on the Sabbath. He didn't even give it on the Sabbath. A person under Sabbath law could not leave their home on the Sabbath. A person on the Sabbath, under Sabbath law, could not build a fire. They could not cook. The person that was under Sabbath law couldn't even cause someone else to work. That's what all the part in there that we just read about not allowing your son or your daughter. I made sure I pointed that out to my dad on several occasions on Sabbath. I told you he wasn't really a biblical scholar. He didn't see it like I did. But when he says here, you know, your son shouldn't work, your daughter will make them with your female servant, your male servant, your livestock, your guest staying with you. What's he saying there? He says, don't cheat. It's not just that you get the day off. Everybody gets the day off. You cannot cheat. Take a break. And you think about what he's saying here. Don't leave home. Don't build a fire. Don't let anybody else work. Do you realize how bad you're breaking the Sabbath just by going to eat lunch after church today? You're going to make somebody build a fire or light up to cook something for you. You're going to make somebody serve you. I think we cause our grandmothers and mothers to be Sabbath breakers every single Sunday. Isn't that terrible? It's what the law says. And what is the penalty under the Old Testament for Sabbath breaking? death. I told you God was very serious about the people observing the Sabbath. What was all this about, though? I mean, what was God really intending to teach them? Well, let's go back and look at the beginning of this commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, Sabbath means rest. It literally reads like this. Remember the rest day. In other words, remember, take a day off. The rest day, he says, it is to be kept holy. You know what it is for something to be holy? It means it's set apart. It means it's fundamentally different than the rest. So you have 6 days that look like work. The seventh day should look significantly different. Just like God, we say God is holy. What do we mean by that? We mean that God is different than us. We are created. God is the creator. We are sinful. God is sinless. We are bound in time. We're limited in power. And God is eternal and almighty. God is fundamentally different. And the Sabbath is to be fundamentally different from the rest of all the other days. 1 out of 7 is to look different. Take a break, he says. And there's actually 2 lessons I think that we can learn at this point about the principle of the Sabbath as it's given in the Old Testament. And I think it still applies. The principle of the Sabbath applies today. The law of the Sabbath does not. Okay, we'll get into why that is in just a moment. But let's look at some lessons here. First thing we learn about the Sabbath is it provides a foundation for work. It provides a lesson about work. 1 day is to look different than the 6 days, and 1 day is to be a rest day. So what should the other 6 days look like? It should look like work days. All to work. Man is made for work. Mark chapter 2:27 says something interesting about the Sabbath. Jesus says, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, in context there, he's saying Sabbath to be a gift to humanity. Humanity is not a gift to the Sabbath. Yeah, this is to be a gift, so that not a burden to us. The Sabbath is supposed to be a gift from God. But now, if you take the word Sabbath and replace it with the word rest, look what you get when you read this. The rest was made for man, not man for rest. Man was not primarily made for rest. Man was made to work. Man was made to work hard. Man was made to be productive. When God put Adam in the garden, he started working. He was there to till the ground, to work the ground, to work the garden. Right off the bat, that wasn't instituted after the fall. Work was instituted before the fall. It's a wonderful, ironic thing that the principle of the Sabbath teaches us about work, that we ought to be people who work. So you can't have a rest day unless you have a work week, right? So God wants us to work. He wants us to give all that we have of ourselves, of what God has given to us, to be productive, to be good stewards of our time. Now, I've got to stop and say, we live in a day and age where people don't like to work. People think they get a pass on work, and that's not why they were created. You know, I'm just going to say, the older folks know what it means to work. A lot of times my generation and down have kind of grown up soft. I mean, my grandmother, her husband died very early. She raised 3 kids and worked a dairy farm. I mean, she worked. She's 90 years old, and she's too stubborn to die. I mean, she's tough. She knows what it means to work. And I hated working with her. Even when she was in her 80s, I'd be out there working with her. And she would match me. And I would go, you're killing me, Mama. I cannot work at the pace. You got to give me some rest. I mean, she knew what it was to work. And she knew what it was to work 6 days. I mean, we live in a day and age where, quite frankly, some folks need to get off their mama's couch, put the video game controller down, and get a job. Go find you a J-O-B. I mean, don't look to the government to take care of you. It's not everybody else's job to take care of you. It's your job to take care of you. Go be responsible. Go work. Find it. Now look, I know some people are trying to find jobs. And look, we get that. And I know some people are disabled and can't work. And I get that. But I understand that the principle of the Sabbath doesn't mean anything if it doesn't mean you must work in order to appreciate rest. Now, I've heard people say, Well, you know, Bradley, I just don't want to burn out. Burn out? I'm more likely to be crowned queen of the peanut festival than some people are with burnout. I mean, it's just not gonna, it's not gonna happen. Look, you're not gonna burn out. You were made to work. You were made to work 6 days. You'll survive. Work. Now, so there's a lesson about work. And that lesson about work is to set up the lesson about rest. Because you wouldn't have had to convince the Hebrews here that they should be workers. All they've ever known is work. Slavery for generation after generation. So the Sabbath primarily is the lesson about rest. Not only should we work hard, be productive, but we should know what it means to rest. And I just kind of talk to the younger generation. Maybe I'll talk to the older generation. Anybody kind of fits in this, because there's some folks that just don't know how to rest. They don't know how to take time off. Their mind is so focused on pursuing that career or making that money or climbing to the next rung on the ladder that it just consumes them. And, you know, even some of you right now, you're at church, but you're thinking about what you've got to do on Monday morning when you go to work. You're thinking about some problems you've got to work out. You're thinking about, and God says, look, you need some rest. You need to take a break so you don't break. Yes, you were made to work, but you were also made to rest and enjoy who God is and what God's done. So he's saying here, when he says, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, he's saying, take a day off. Now, these folks won't say, well, I'm about to burn out. They would say, well, I'd rather burn out than rust out. And to you, I would say, why? Either way, you're still out. God does not want your flame out. He wants it alive and vibrant and making a difference in this world. And to do that, he sets up a very clear pattern. 6 days, work hard. And seventh day, rest. Rest. So what the principle of the Sabbath does is it keeps both work and rest in balance. It keeps us from being out of balance on the rest side and just being lazy and living off mama and the government and that kind of thing. And it also keeps in balance on the work side. So remember, life's not all about work. But it's about enjoying God. And I want you to see what he said. When I say rest, the Sabbath is not just a day off. The Sabbath principle doesn't establish just a day off. It's not just a day to unwind. It's not simply a leisure day. This is what he says. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. It's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. What does it mean? If we are to rest, if we are to rest in God, what does that look like? Well, when we start looking at this commandment, what we see that this commandment is actually rooted in God's work in creation. In the creation week. Look at verse 11, Exodus 20. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, you see that? That's the purpose clause. Therefore, because he created in six and rested in seven, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. Now, all this is taken from Genesis 2 and 3. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Why? Because? Purpose clause? Because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So God blessed the seventh day. He blessed it. God blessed a day. About that. He put his blessing on a day. And he set it aside by making it holy. What's he saying? I think part of what he's saying is, if you want to live a blessed life, take a day and focus on God. You want to live a life of blessing, a life of joy, a life of peace, contentment. Then you can't just be driven by the world's agenda all the time. You gotta take some time and focus on who God is and what He's done. And the reverse is true. When you do that, when we take a day and we say, God, I give this to You. God, I rest and I just think about You. What we're ultimately doing is saying, God, You're worth more than my career. God, You're worth more than what I can pursue and accomplish with my life and my you know, work-driven direction. I give this day to You because I know I am Yours and I need this day and I need this time and I want You. And the reason, again, is given both in Genesis 2:3 and Exodus 20:11 for His blessing and the hallowing of the seventh day. On it, God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. So God's the model for the Sabbath. Isn't it strange that God rested? I mean, the all-powerful, eternal One, it seemed like He needs to rest, right? Why did He rest? He doesn't get tired. Well, here's what I think this means. I think after God had just created everything that He created, and all of the glory of the seas and the stars and the trees and the animals and mankind, and you know, as you go through that, in Genesis, you see He says he saw it and it was good. He saw it and it was good. He saw it was good. After it was all done, He stood back and He saw it and it was very good. I think that's a little bit like what artists do. When they create a painting they're very proud of, when they're done with it, they step back and they look at it. And they appreciate the beauty of what's been done. I think that's what God did on the seventh day. He took a step back and He enjoyed all that He had created. I know artists and God, it's hard to. So with me, I'm not an artist and Lord knows I'm not anywhere close to God. It's what I do when I mow the yard. You do this? Get out, spend several hours, mow the yard, weed eat, pull the weeds out of your flowers and whatnot. Now, do you just walk in and just, no. You stop and take at least 2-3 seconds and look what you have accomplished. Right? That's what God did when He rested. And you see what God is doing when He commands us to take a Sabbath to the Lord. You know what He's doing? He's saying, to my highest creation, the piece of my creation that I have made in my image, I want you to stand with me and enjoy my work. I want you to stand with me and look on all that I have made. I want you to stand with me and see how good I am. I want you to stand with me and enjoy all that I am for you. For all this was created for you to live and enjoy and have a relationship with me. I want you to take this time. I want you to focus on me. And when you look at what all God's created, as we enjoy God, do you know what you realize? That all that we have, everything we have, and everything that we can see comes from God's gracious hands. That's what we do. We look at what God has made and what God has done. And we say, I couldn't work for this. My work is so inadequate. My work is so weak. It just could not accomplish. Thank You, God, that all that I have and all that I am comes from You. So, Sabbath is rooted in God's work of creation. But it's interesting, God, the Scripture says that the Sabbath is also rooted in God's work of redemption or salvation. This is not the only place that the Ten Commandments are given. The Ten Commandments are also given in Deuteronomy chapter 5, given to really the children of this faithless generation. And when you go to Deuteronomy 5:15, you see something, some wording difference about why God gave the Sabbath. In verse 15 here, He says, You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. That's what they were. They were slaves. Remember, you're slaves. I know you've been in the wilderness 40 years, but your family, their family, so forth down the line, were slaves. But I delivered you by my mighty hand, my outstretched arm. Therefore, purpose clause, reason. Therefore, because you once were slaves and in bondage, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. You see that? So, The God that has shown His power to create has also shown His power to deliver. He's also showed His power to save. So we take 1 out of 7 days to stop and focus on the fact not only did we not make ourselves, but also that we could not save ourselves from our own sinfulness and depravity. But God is a deliverer. He has outstretched arms to save all those who will turn from sin and put faith on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The Sabbath is a reminder to us that yes, we are designed for work. We are made for work, but work neither creates us nor saves us. That is all of Christ. And that brings us, as we leave the Sabbath principle, to the Sabbath person. If you read through the Bible, the Jewish Sabbath is what day? Saturday. That's exactly right. Clearly, the Jewish Sabbath is the seventh day, which is Saturday. Sunday's the first day of the week. There's no question about that. There's no debate about that. So the question then arises, well, why don't we worship on Sunday? Why don't we worship on Saturday? Why don't we keep the Old Testament Sabbath? Why are we leaving our house? You broke the Sabbath just by coming to church this morning. You left your house. My guess is if you've got gas in your home and you had the gas on, you're a Sabbath breaker. If you cooked something this morning, you're a Sabbath breaker. Why don't we keep that kind of Sabbath if it is so very important? Well, like the rest of the law, the Sabbath is fulfilled completely and fully in Christ. Matthew 5:17-18. Do not think that I have, this is Jesus saying, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I have come to complete them. I have come to accomplish them. I've come to show you what that was all about to begin with. What's interesting about the Ten Commandments, did you know that in the Ten Commandments from the New Testament reasserts every single one of the Ten Commandments except one. This one. The Sabbath commandment. Nowhere in the New Testament are Christians commanded to observe the Sabbath. Why? Well, because the Sabbath now, it's not a day. It's a person. Why don't we keep the Sabbath? Well, we don't keep the Sabbath for the same reason that we didn't bring animals to slaughter this morning. We have someone who's accomplished that work for us already. Hebrews 10:10-13. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Our sanctification comes where? Through the law, through keeping the law, through working hard, by sacrificing animals because we broke the law and we couldn't keep it? No, because Christ has come and kept the law. About every priest here, he says, and every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. All that sacrificial work never had the power to take away sins. Well, what was it for? It was to work as a credit card until Christ came to take away sins. Because it says, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice, not all time forward, but all time completely, he dealt with the sin of humanity. For all time, a single sacrifice for sins. He sat down. I love this picture. He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. He sat down. You see the law. You see how great that is. The law was to say, you're so separated from God that if you try to keep all that's needed for you to be right with God, and that's what you try, this is the things you have to do if you're going to be approved by God, you can't do it. It's absolutely impossible to do. So the Old Testament, the Jews worked so very hard to try to keep the law. They couldn't keep it, so they offered their sacrifices. And Hebrews says that wasn't even enough. But Jesus comes along and He does the work that no one else could. Jesus came and He kept the law. He succeeded in every way that we and everybody else failed. He perfectly glorified God with His life. All those 613 laws that the Jews were consumed with, Jesus kept them perfectly. He displayed His glory. He pointed to God. He fulfilled the sacrificial system. He kept the law. He did the work. And he went to the cross. And on the cross, he paid the penalty for our Sabbath breaking. What's the penalty for Sabbath breaking? And by the way, you came to church this morning, all of you broke the Sabbath. Death. And what did Jesus die? What did Jesus do? He died. So that Sabbath breakers might live. And he uttered from the cross those famous words, "All that work for you, it is finished." You know, and I know I've said this before. You've heard a preacher say, "You're not saved by works." You've heard that. "Are you saved by works?" "No, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace." Well, it's not entirely true. Listen to me. You are saved by works. Jesus' works. You're not just saved by grace. You're saved by the grace of God through Christ. You see what I'm saying? You're saved by Christ. So Christ did all of this work, and he went to the cross, and he paid our penalty, and now he ascended into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing? He's resting. Because it is finished. The work to bring you into right relationship with God is done. No more working. No more striving for God's approval. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in Christ, you have God's approval. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, following. "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God." You hear that? The Old Testament rest wasn't enough to bring you in right relationship with God. So there now remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. "For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his." You know why God rested on the seventh day of creation? It was to be a model for us to rest in the work of Christ Jesus. He rested. "For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest." What great paradox of Scripture. Strive to enter rest. What does he mean? "So that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." We're going to talk about perseverance tonight. That's what he means. He means persevere to show your salvation real. Show that you're a real child of God. Strive to prove that you are in rest. And when you're striving, when you're persevering the faith and prove that you're that you are in rest, you know what you don't have to ever do? Work and strive, hoping to earn the approval of God. That can only be done by Christ. Strive to prove that you're resting in Him. Because what we ultimately see as the sum of Scripture is laid out is this. Sabbath is no longer a day. Sabbath is a person. Our Sabbath is Jesus Christ. The Old Testament Sabbath was simply to be a shadow pointing to who Christ is. This is exactly what Colossians 2, 16 and 17 says. Look what it says. "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come." What? All those festivals in the law. The Sabbath in the law. What are these things? They are a shadow. In other words, they reveal something about what is to come, but not all of it. "These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance, the thing that it was point to, the thing that the Sabbath was to teach us about is who? It's Christ. The Sabbath is no longer a day. The Sabbath is a person. And Jesus came and he claimed in Matthew 12:8 to be the Lord of the Sabbath. The Lord of the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus can come and say, "I'm in charge of the Sabbath. I'm over the Sabbath. The Sabbath doesn't apply to me because I am the Sabbath." And I can reorganize it and redefine it in ways that you can fully understand what it was supposed to mean originally. And that's what he does. In the New Testament, we're never taught to observe the Sabbath. But it seems like the people of God I mean, just almost immediately after the resurrection, they start observing a form of the Sabbath principle. It's called the Lord's Day. It happens on the first day of the week, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. And John was caught up in his vision. You read Revelation 1:10? When? On the Lord's Day. Now, this is a great thing about the Sabbath day. Do we observe the Sabbath? Do we observe one day as Sabbath? And the answer is no. Y'all listen to me. For the Christian, every day, Sabbath day. Every day our rest is in Christ. Now, we gather together and we worship on Sunday. Because the Lord Jesus was resurrected on a Sunday. And the people of God, even though it was a work day for the Jews, got together and they worshiped. And they worshiped with all they had. Why? Because the Lord is risen. And when you know what it means to rest in Christ, you can't help but to rejoice in the fact that what you couldn't work to do, Christ did. He worked to create you. He worked to redeem you. So that we might rest in His grace. Let's close with a few application points. What I want you to walk away, besides just the centerpiece of the Sabbath points to Christ, is this. The issue of the Sabbath is just not worth fighting over. Don't fight over it. I've tried to argue for why we do what we do the way we do it this morning and show how it points in Christ and calls us to just exalt God in worship. But if you go back to Colossians 2:16, remember what he says? He says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of things like food and drink and with regard to the festival, the new moon, or the Sabbath. What he's saying is look, if the Jews there, y'all still want to be caught up in doing some of this Sabbath keeping and the law in order to appease your conscience, that's okay. That's all right. Go ahead. I'm not going to fight you over it. You want to worship on Saturday? Worship on Saturday. Right? There's churches. If you want to worship on Saturday, worship on Saturday. There's churches all over the place that have Saturday worship. Right? Nothing wrong with worshiping on Saturday. In that, there's nothing wrong with worshiping on any day. In Acts chapter 2, not only did they worship on Sundays, but they gathered together in homes during the week and they worshiped. Remember, what day is Sabbath day for the Christian? Every day. So if it... For some reason, you're caught up in something, and you just feel like that's where you go. Okay. But worship Jesus, not the law. Okay. And if you're living in grace and you understand and you believe like I've presented it here today from the scripture, then amen. Worship on Sunday. That's the day that the Lord was resurrected. And that's the model that we see in scripture of the first Christians. But we don't have to be a stumbling block for those that don't get it. It's okay. This is not worth fighting over. Some things are. This is not. All right. Second thing is this. Or let me just bring this up to a side note, kind of an excursus real quickly. Should you mow the yard on Sunday? I'm glad my dad's not here. Of course, my son's here, so this kind of has a turnabout's fair play kind of thing on me. Should you mow the yard on Sunday? That depends. It depends on whether it violates your conscience or not. Okay? If you look at this and you think, you know what, this ought to be a rest day. This ought to be, I mean, I'm not saying should you come to church, should you worship and all those kind of things. But should you do anything else? You know, scripture says the ox in the ditch, get out, those kind of things. And the answer is that's really up to you. Because the Sabbath law is not binding on us. What I'm presenting to you, this is not law. This is like advice. This is like a blessing from a father, from God. This is you see where we're going with this? So if it violates your conscience to mow the yard on Sunday, you should mow it on Sunday. Did I say Saturday earlier? Sunday. You should mow. But if it doesn't, you say I'm free in Christ, I'm resting in Christ, and you need to get out and mow it on Sunday, then mow it on Sunday. Okay? Don't let it bother you. But here's the deal. Don't judge the person who doesn't mow. And if you don't mow, don't judge the person who does. That makes sense? Okay. Second, and this is kind of balanced what I just said. Sabbath is less for recreation and more for recreation. Okay? That should be the emphasis. The emphasis of it, recreation. I love what Charles Spurgeon said about this, where I got the idea. He said this. He said, I believe that Sunday should be spent in recreation. All right, now just... You are dreadfully shocked, and well you may be, but what do I mean by recreation? Notice how it's spelled. It means creating us new. Oh, that everyone who talks about spending Sunday in recreation would come to be recreated, regenerated, renewed, refreshed, revived, and made to rejoice in God. That is the goal of the Lord's Day. And then finally, we'll just end with this. Work hard and worship harder. Because you were made to do two things. You were made to work and you were made to worship. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I work hard and I play harder. I work hard and worship harder, all right? You were made for that. You worship in your work, worship in your rest. Everything we are, all that we have, is of God. And so I pray that we'll stand before God today and say, God, thank you that you've given me the ability to work. Thank you that you've given me the blessing of rest. And thank you most of all that what I could not work for, you have given to me freely in Christ, approval with my Creator. Father, I pray that your grace would show us what we need to see today. I pray that you would point out where we are with you. And if you're here today and you're a Christian, then rejoice in the fact that every day is the Sabbath day. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian and you know you're not right with God, then you need to realize that your only rest comes in Christ. But He has done all the work that you'll ever need to be right with God. So this morning, today, you can stop striving and rest in what Christ has already finished. Father, today I pray that you'll save the lost. Lord, I pray that you'll sanctify and bless your people. Right now we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If you feel like you need to come and ask questions about what I've talked about, you need to come and say, I need to know Christ. I want to rest. Oh, how I need to rest. If you're lost and you don't feel holy terror in your soul over your sin, you pray to God. Pray desperately, Lord, make me afraid of my sinfulness before you. And run to the cross for salvation and rest eternally. Father, we come to you and we pray that you'll cause us to be worshipers on this day as every day. In Christ's name, amen.